Welcome back, everybody. Streets and Eats, episode 99. Wow, we are so close to 100, I can taste it. In this episode today, we are taking you on one of our really best road trips from last summer, and that was in the northeast of North America. And today we're talking about Toronto and Niagara Falls. 2 days.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We started in Wisconsin, and we drove from Wisconsin all the way through and then into North America, and then we returned our rental. But we're not really talking about all of that. We're only going to talk about the Canadian piece, basically. A little bit about New York, but that's it. So, you know, I have the trivia question for the day.
Yeah.
And Toronto is this bustling metropolis in Canada. It's beautiful, and it was the first time we had ever been there.
That's right.
We had been many places in Canada, but for some reason we had never gone to the big city. So we went to Toronto, and we did see half of this question. But apparently we should have seen both halves, but we didn't. There are two things that Toronto has so many of that you're never out of a 10-meter range from one of these two things. That's pretty ubiquitous, pretty far-reaching. So, okay, so what would Toronto have so much of, so many of them, that you are always going to be that
within
close?
10 meters of one. And this is the trivia question. So, Toronto, wintertime, super cold.
It is cold
right
in Toronto.
Right on the Great Lakes, Lake Ontario, right? So maybe it is something like electrical outlets to plug in a vehicle.
Maybe, but no.
But no. Wow. Always within 10 meters. So we should have definitely seen these.
We, like I said, we only saw half of it. We did not see one of the other things, or at least I didn't, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. But we saw the other.
Dogs?
We saw lots of dogs.
Lots of dogs. There's even a dog fountain. Dogs, so I would say dogs and dog poop, but I didn't really see any dog poop. They did a good job cleaning up after themselves. Moose, bakeries, there's lots of bakeries. I wouldn't say every 10 meters, though. Wow, if it's every 10 meters, we're talking something that you're like...
Well, you're on the right track for both
walking.
Those things.
Coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah.
What about coffee?
Coffee grinder, coffee roaster, coffee shop, coffee cart, coffee cup, you name it.
So, Tim Hortons by far holds the record for having the most
profit share
of coffee in all of Canada.
Yeah.
In fact, 60%.
Wow.
But, what other one?
Maybe Starbucks?
Might you see, yeah, Starbucks.
Well, I wouldn't say I can't imagine you're always within 10 meters of a Starbucks or a Tim Hortons. But yeah, it must be just coffee shop in general.
And then, okay, so you got half of it, the half that we saw and experienced over and over again. But what about the other thing?
If it's
It was akin to dogs, but not quite.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I was going to say poutine until you threw out the animal reference.
I think you do see a lot of poutine.
You do. Okay, give me another clue because I'm...
It's an animal.
An animal. Every 10 meters, within 10 meters of you, you will see...
At all times!
You will see a...
I didn't say you'll see it. We didn't see it.
Well, there will be a mouse.
Close, a rat.
A rat. Really?
Apparently, Toronto is overrun with coffee shops and rats.
Coffee shops and rats. And they are pumped up, adrenaline rushed... Rats, because they're drinking the coffee and eating the beans.
But, I mean, that makes it sound negative. Toronto is a beautiful
city.
It really
is. It's clean, gorgeous.
Very walkable. With the day that we were there was simply, well, we were there a day and a night and a morning. And both, all of that time it was stunning. There was no rain. Were we there 2 nights?
Yeah, yeah. We got
anyway,
later
it was
in
stunning.
The day. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful weather when we were there in late.
We were there in August.
Late July, early August, yeah. Early August. Beautiful weather. It is Canada's largest city, so of course, yeah, you're going to find lots of coffee shops. And we did find lots of coffee shops and some really good coffee.
Some really good coffee. So one of the local coffee shops that are very famous there is called Balzac's.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure that we went to a Balzac's. And when we did, we really enjoyed it. We loved the atmosphere. Yeah. We loved the coffee. It was just really nice. It felt kind of nostalgic, little old-timey.
Yeah. And it makes sense because while we were there in August and it was pretty nice weather, I can imagine quite a bit of the year it is cold, dark, and did I say cold? Really cold.
Right, but apparently it gets like 300 days of sunshine a year.
Wow.
So that's so nice. That's pretty nice.
Okay, so clear.
But that doesn't mean that it's not cold.
The clear days in the wintertime in the north are usually the coldest. You need some cloud cover.
So anyway, this is our first timer's guide to Toronto. And as we said, it was our first time. So I think that we can talk to it quite, you know, quite well.
Quite a bit. We can't really give like
tons of hints,
specific hints and tips that you gather from multiple trips like we would normally do on a first timer's guide. But I think we did a pretty good job researching going into it. And we covered all our bases. We only had really a full day and a morning there. And we filled it up quite well.
We did, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Now, the first thing you need to know as an American is that Toronto can be a bit pricey.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we were looking for places to stay, there were some beautiful hotels, but you're going to pay for them. So we kept looking and kept looking, and we ended up having a hotel that takes over part of the dormitories for the university.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't, I wouldn't say it was cheap. But it was...
It was affordable.
It was definitely affordable. And it was, to me, it's kind of quirky, you know. Downstairs, I had a subway.
Yeah.
It was very dorm
student
feeling.
Commons.
Yeah, the student commons. It was very... you felt like you were back in university. It was pretty
so
cool.
We had a suite, right? Which was...
Yeah, we did.
Two double rooms connected to a... You can't even really call it a sitting room. There was a place with a small table and a kitchenette, refrigerator, microwave, that sort of thing. And then, of course, the bathroom.
Now, the beds, these are student beds.
Yeah.
So they were not doubles.
Yeah.
We did not sleep together. Yeah. We had our own little room.
They claim they're doubles, but they're not singles. But they're not.
They're like single.
They're not big
and
enough
half
for two people to sleep on.
Not comfortably.
Not
well,
comfortable.
We had two of them, so we weren't going to worry about it.
Yeah, we had two rooms, so why not?
Anyway, it was quirky and it was fun. It was right on, everything's on the public transportation line, so that's not a problem. There's very good public transportation in Toronto. And fun fact, the tram that goes down through downtown, it's clocked to the speed of a chicken.
A chicken?
So it may not be fast per se, but you're not stopping and starting. You're basically...
Is it a walking chicken or a running chicken? Because I know it's not a flying chicken.
I don't know.
It's funny.
I thought that was pretty hilarious too.
Well, we got there to Toronto, of course,
by car.
We were doing a driving trip. And like you said, we had gone to Wisconsin on a family reunion and needed to get to New York City to catch our flight. Had a rental car. Like, let's see what we can do. And yeah, we could have driven, is it I-90 that just goes straight across?
Goes straight across, which we love I-90.
We've done before. It's a good way to do it. But we really wanted to get up into Canada and do some things up in that area because we hadn't done that yet.
In a while.
You know, yeah.
And we've been to Canada plenty of times, but we've never been to Toronto.
Yeah. So up we go through Michigan, through Detroit. We stopped for a hot dog.
We stopped in Detroit specifically at lunchtime on purpose so that we could try the Detroit hot dogs, the Coney dogs.
Yeah.
And they have, it's really fun. They're like side by side, the two.
Competitors.
The competitors. And so we went to one and we bought our hot dogs and we went to the other and bought our hot dogs and
taste tested.
We definitely taste tested and we came up with our favorite and then we moved on to Canada.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting crossing.
Okay, so Google Maps had put us on this route that was the major highway that goes up through Detroit and around the lake and then right into Canada on the major highway. And we're like, okay, I mean, that makes sense. It's probably the only way in. But then, just outside of Detroit, it, like, changed.
It
gave us a new route.
Which, of course, was because of traffic. I mean,
traffic or backup at passport control at that border crossing. Because the major highway border crossings into Canada, we know, can go, like, hours long.
Yeah.
So it rerouted us, and we ended up going around the top of Lake St. Clair and then up the St. Clair River for just a little bit. to this town called, I think I've written down somewhere, to this town called Algonac, where there was
which we've never heard of.
Oh yeah, I mean small town, and
cute.
Took us right to a ferry line that had like maybe six cars in it, maybe, but they were loading the ferry right when we got there. And we all fit. I think maybe it was a 12-car ferry.
It was small. And it was just across the river, so.
And across the river to Canada. And that was the border crossing.
And then you do a quick, a cursory, almost, passport control.
Check your passports. And you're in Canada.
And that was it. It was one of the fastest entries into Canada's I've ever taken.
And a ferry ride across a river. Oh, yeah,
We enjoyed it. And then we drove the rest of the way into Toronto and went to our hotel dormitory.
Yeah. If you're flying in, of course, it's the biggest city in Canada. It's got a major airport. You can fly anywhere in the world to or from Toronto Pearson.
I think for what we're talking about on this trip, if you just want to take a weekend, it's perfect for that. You fly into Toronto, do Toronto for the day, and then you can either take a tour or a bus or another way of getting to Niagara, or just drive or rent a car just for the day and come back and then fly out. You could easily do it in a couple of days. That's why we chose this.
Yeah. Flying in, the airport's not far from the city center. It's like a 25-minute train ride. So it's super easy. The public transport in Toronto is world class. It's one of the best. It's a bit pricey, I think, compared to other cities, but
cheaper than parking.
Cheaper than parking, and easier than parking. We had a car, so we were driving. So we didn't drive everywhere we were going, but we would drive to one spot where we wanted to do a couple things: park the car, get out and explore, and then later move the car to another spot, get out and explore that area, because it's a pretty big city, and even the Old Town is quite large, so you need to move around quite a bit. If I was just going for a weekend and I was flying in, I would definitely just stick with public transport.
Yep.
You can get everywhere on public transport.
Yeah.
Like I said, we stayed in the residence and conference center at Seneca College, which worked out really good. They had a nice parking lot, beds were comfortable, it was on the public transport line, so that's a good option unless you're there during the school year.
I was going to say, it's a good option for the summer.
So then, if I'm looking for hotels, I would go, and I couldn't stay there, I would go to our standard algorithm, which is in a city, somewhere near a metro or a good bus stop, and without too many connections to get places, good price, good ratings, if you do have a car, parking, of course, that sort of thing. And there's lots of good options.
Plenty of options.
There are more expensive the closer you get to the center. So it's always a good idea to go a little bit further out, but on a metro line that takes you to the center.
And they go quite a ways. I mean, it's really good public transportation, so don't let that stop you at all.
Yeah.
And once you get into town, of course, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to the next place on public trans. And there's a nice river promenade to walk on. There's ferry boats. There's all kinds of things that you can have fun with.
Yeah. You take the ferry out to Toronto Island, all kinds of good stuff. Okay, this is Streets and Eats.
Which
we talked a little bit
eat.
About the streets. Let's talk about the eats. And what do you eat in Toronto?
So, of course, we already mentioned poutine.
We did. And you can eat that everywhere in Canada.
And you should. And it's good. And it's like this thing that, why hasn't it really made big in the States yet? I don't really get it. We should be borrowing that. That is so good.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the land of maple. So if you're going to have breakfast, there's plenty of maple syrup types of options, or cinnamon rolls or things like that, which we tried a few at the coffee shops. Those were fun. And then there's some different ones that you get just for going to Toronto, or at least as far as I know.
There's a couple of them that we did try that were very specific to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably get them outside of Toronto. Sure, yeah. Nowadays, but they originated there. Number one of those has to be the pea meal bacon sandwich.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound like, I don't know what it is with the way they call things, but doesn't sound that appetizing to me. Pea meal?
Well, we like went back and forth before we actually took the time to look it up and see what it was. We heard that you have to have a pea meal bacon sandwich, right?
Yeah. So we're thinking that's usually enough for me.
Maybe the bread is made out of pea meal.
Yeah, we were trying to figure that out.
What's the deal there? But no, it's not the bread. It's the ham itself, the Canadian bacon, that is associated with the pea meal. In the old days, when it was still a colony, and Toronto was the capital of the British colonies in Canada, they, of course, one of the things they did was they produced, mass-produced, lots of things to send back to the United Kingdom, one of which was hams, pork and hams of various cuts and cures. So they would use pea meal, which is, you know, garden peas, meadow peas, yellow peas, whatever they are, that have been roasted, dried, and pulverized into a powder. And they use that to pack in and around the hams inside mm-hmm. the barrels for shipping. Mm-hmm. And they don't ship them in barrels anymore, but it was such a thing that caught on that pea meal bacon became a mainstay for breakfast, and you can still get it today. We had it for lunch, not breakfast. And it
well,
was
because
a great
the sandwich,
sandwich,
yeah. We went to the St. Lawrence Market, which, mm-hmm. by the way, is not only the largest market in Canada, but did you know that National Geographic said it's the number one market in the world?
Wow.
National Geographic said that. They've been around.
It's a great market.
It is a stunning market. I mean, we really loved it. But inside the St. Lawrence Market is a place called Carousel, and they have been known for their pea meal sandwiches yeah. for years and years and years and years and years. And that's what we always look for. Where we should we go that is going to be the most authentic? Well, let me tell you, the line was long. The line was really long, although they got them through pretty quickly. And I got to say, we only got one sandwich. And because we want to try lots of things,
everything.
You know, we just want to try one. But I could have eaten my own sandwich because it was really good.
Could have eaten two or three of them, probably.
Yeah, they're not that big. They're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like a small roll. Delicious Canadian bacon. Does the pea meal do anything for it? I don't know, but it's delicious. And then they have a couple of different condiments you can put on it. We went with what I think is the most traditional, the maple mustard.
Maple mustard.
And it was quite good.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. And we just sat right there on a bench and ate it right next to the restaurant. But outside the market, they have picnic tables and stuff, too. So you can go out there if you want to.
Okay, so the next thing that we had to try, you really wanted to find this, was the, and I don't speak French, so I'll massacre it, the tortillere.
Tortillere.
Yeah, I said it pretty good.
Yeah, you said it great.
Which is a meat pie.
A meat pie.
Who doesn't like a meat pie?
I love a meat pie, but when I think about meat pies, I really think of, you know, British pies.
Yes, hot, and gravy inside, juicy yeah. and succulent and yeah. delicious meat.
Served at a pub with some beer.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what it was.
No.
And we had a hard time finding it, actually. We ended up having to drive to a bakery. There were a few places that we found. One of them was only a takeout place, so we did go in there. And if we'd had an oven, we probably would have bought it there because their stuff looked amazing, but we didn't have an oven. We just had, as Jim said, a microwave.
Yeah, the first place we wanted to go, I think it was the Papillon, which was downtown, but it didn't open until dinner time. And I think that was the big issue we found was that it was served at dinner and we had other plans for dinner already. So that wasn't going to work for us. So yeah, we drove to quite a few different places.
Yeah, we finally found it, I think, on the third or fourth. Anyway, the one that we did find was really, really good. And I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It has pork in it. It's in a pie shell.
Beef.
It's good.
It's usually got beef, pork, minced or chunks, potatoes sliced, kind of like a scalloped potato, and onion, garlic.
It was yummy. And it was a good lunch.
Flaky crust.
Well, good. Second lunch.
You can't beat that. Yeah, where do we have that? We had that at Patisserie La Signon.
Yeah, there's lots of patisseries. I could have gone to every single one of them.
Yeah, it was quite good. That's also where I had my bar set for almond croissant.
Oh.
That almond croissant at that patisserie.
And we had a lot after that because Jim was like,
whoa.
He was on a roll.
It was amazing. And I thought, this is what all almond croissants are like? Hmm. I found some close, but never one as good.
And even here, we live right now in France now, and trying the almond croissants there, they actually have a couple of different kinds, so you have to find the one that has the almond paste inside along with the almonds on top. It makes a difference. Anyway, those are really good.
Really good.
And yeah, that is what set the bar high, because it was melt-in-your-mouth delicious, along with flaky pastry. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, well, we should say the tortilla is not specific to Toronto. It is a French-Canadian thing that actually came down the river from Quebec and became very popular in Toronto. So we were in that area. We weren't going to Quebec. We wanted to try it, and we did.
And know? We've been to Quebec. We love it. I've been to Quebec at least two or three times. I think Jim's been twice.
Twice, I think.
Yeah. So, but we haven't been in a number of years. So anyway, it was Toronto's turn.
That's right. Okay, the next thing that is Toronto is butter tart.
And whenever you look up anything for Toronto, you're going to see them mention butter tarts, or where you can get the butter tart next to the museum, or where the...
Right.
I mean, they really are into their butter tarts. And I thought, I am not leaving this city without trying a good butter tart. So again, we had to drive to a bakery that we wanted to find the best butter tart. And I think we tried two or three. Because
different bakeries.
Because, you know, when you're looking at reviews and stuff, it's kind of hard to say which is the very number one.
Well, everybody's got their own idea of what is the best butter tart. Should it be chewy in the middle, or should it be creamy in the middle? Should it be crunchy on top or chewy on top? And what should the outer pastry shell be like? Should it be flaky and crumbly, or have more texture? So I think it's really dependent on what you really like. But yeah, so we ended up trying a few. Again, we were looking later in the day, so kind of so, like
which the is probably not a smart thing to do.
Kind of like the problem with the tortillere.
Tortillere
was that they were sold out in a lot of places. So we did end up going to quite a few bakeries, but we did find three and taste tested them. There was a difference in each of the
three. Every single one was different. Yeah,
but they were good. Okay, so what is it? A butter tart is a sweet tart. It consists of a filling of butter, sugar, syrup, and egg. Baked in a pastry shell. It's pretty small. It's not a one biter. It's probably like a three or four biter.
Four bites, yeah, five.
Maybe five. For me, three, I can do it.
For big mouths.
Yeah. And it is chewy and delicious, yummy, scrumptious. If you want to kind of put it in some context, it's kind of like a pecan pie without the pecans.
Without the pecans, yeah. It was good. It was really good. I don't know that I would eat a lot of them.
Yeah, you're not a big sweet person. Because
they were a little sweet for me. I loved it. And with a cup of coffee, you know, you're never 10 feet away from another cup of coffee. It would be really, really good. But I like some of the other. I like more of a savory kind of dish. Yeah. So.
So we did end up finding them at Doodoo's Bakery.
Doodoo.
And Wanda's Pie Sky. And... Bonjour Brioche. And as I recall, Bonjour Brioche is the one that I like the most.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, so you're not just going to eat, although you could.
Although you could, because it's an amazing place to eat.
And Toronto is one of the most multicultural cities, not just in Canada, but in the world.
For example, I think a lot of people who go to Toronto are really good at Chinatown. And we walked through Chinatown, and it was really pretty. But then, of course, they have great dumplings and great noodles and all that stuff. Now, we had just come from Southeast Asia.
Yeah, so that wasn't
so us. For us, we were looking more of a more traditional Canadian theme versus right. An immigrant type of ethnic food. But I'm here to tell you, I came close to trying a few because they did smell amazing. Yeah. Dumplings, I can almost it's eat hard a dumpling to pass up a day. Dumpling. That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, any ethnic food you want, you're going to find it. All right, but you're not just going to eat. You want to see something while you're there. And we had a pretty full day. And remember, in the summertime, you have a lot of sunlight hours. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely get a lot done in one day.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things we did, I think the first thing, basically,
yeah,
we did was we went to the Royal Ontario Museum. And each province has their own branch of their Royal Province Museum, right. And we've been to a few of them, and they never disappoint. And it could be a little pricey, but we're looking at the price list, and we're thinking, you know, how much do we really need to do? So we noticed that the whole first floor was free if you just stayed on the first floor. And, I mean, it's a huge museum, so I figured, and by the way, the First Nations exhibit was part of the free part of the exhibit. So, and that's what I was the most interested in anyway. But it had some Chinese history in there. It had the First Nations, and it had quite a bit. So we ended up not paying
right
to go because we thought, hey, if we can go to this museum for free, let's do it. Beautiful building. Exterior was gorgeous. Interior was gorgeous. It's funny, I didn't really think the exterior is like modern and cubicle.
On one front, but on the other, it's the old building.
Yeah, and that was what I was going to say. The interior, you can see more of the old building. Yeah. The arches and it was just really, it was beautiful.
So that's a really good tip. If you don't have a lot of time, you're there only for a day, you may not want to spend 3 hours
all your time
in one museum.
Exactly.
Then you could easily spend 3 hours exploring the whole museum.
Oh, you could. I mean, they had a cafeteria in there, you know, cafe, and they had, I mean, you could easily spend a lot of time in there. But for us, with our limited time, our only 2 days that we were spending to go to Toronto and Niagara, we figured, you know, hey, we'll just go to the free part. And I thought it was a nice taste.
Yeah. Well, the main exhibit we wanted to see was the First Nations. Which covered art, culture, traditions, history.
Clothing. There was a big thing on there.
Yeah.
Clothing.
Very, very, very big, good, widespread, lots of exhibits and artifacts. Like, I would pay just to go to that museum by itself. And that's really what we wanted to see. Did we need to go to Toronto and see Chinese artifacts, Egyptian artifacts,
no.
Things from around the world? No, we've been and done that in other places. So my number one tip for Toronto is just do the free portion of the museum. It's well worth it.
Well, on the weekend, if you're going to spend more time there, you might want to do more. Or if it's raining out, we had a gorgeous day, you might want to spend more time there. There's not a reason not to do it if that's what you're into. But at least go, at least, at the minimum, go.
Get there for the first floor.
The first floor.
Definitely.
And right outside the Toronto Museum, right across the street, was a ceramics museum, which looked like a lot of fun. We didn't end up going there, but we did read about it, and we came this close. Yeah. We just were so, you know, crunchy on the time that we just didn't.
Well, one of the factors was that you could do workshops.
Yes.
And which sounded like a lot of fun, but none of the workshops lined up with the time that we had to do it. So that really was the major factor.
So if you're interested in that kind of thing, which I think it was good for kids and adults, just check their website ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I think it was called the Gardner Museum.
Definitely, yeah, it was. And definitely something you would need to plan before, I think. So yeah, the museum is right. Also, on the other side of it, not where the Gardner Museum is, but on the other side, is the major university and the Philosopher's Walk, this beautiful walk through a garden path that goes through the university grounds.
Which is well-trodden.
Beautiful.
Everybody was walking there. It was stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Well worth a quick 20,
whatever you have.
Walk.
You could go for as long as you wanted to go and come back or whatever. But yeah, easily for just a 20-minute, you know, greenery in the city kind of.
Carry your coffee in and find a park bench.
Because you know there's a coffee cup.
Every 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
That's right. Okay, the next place you're going to want to go is the St. Lawrence Market. After you've been to the museum, it's lunchtime, you want to eat. And the St. Lawrence Market is the place to do it. We talked a little bit about it. It is a very large market. If you're there during the week, really your only choice is the South Market. That's open every day, I think. And that's where all the vendors are. That's where over 120 stalls and shops are in there. You can get any type of food, any type of produce. I mean, there is some delicious stuff in there.
There was homemade pasta. There was all kinds of stuff that... Like, I really wanted more and more and more, but, you know, we held back.
You can only eat so much. We did get, like, one of the best peach juices of the summer.
Oh, so good.
Because you love a good juice. And
I love peach.
Leaving Vietnam, we were a little bit kind of thirsting for juice.
Fresh juice.
Fresh juice. And summertime in the States, of course, you want a good peach. And we just weren't finding good peaches last summer.
No.
But that peach juice hit the spot.
It was really good.
It was really good. There's also the North Market, which is the main Sunday market. So farmers market. If you're there on a Sunday, you definitely want to be there for that. The other market is the oldest building in the market, but it's mainly just a venue. So
yeah, we walked all over and it was really good. Everywhere we went, I mean, we're always looking for good food, so we found it.
Yeah, and it's open from dawn till 5 at least. And I think you can still get some food later in the South Hall.
So one place that you would think that everybody would want to go when you're in Toronto is the Hockey Hall of Fame, Well, we're not real big sports fans.
We're really not.
And I did, I mean, I love that it was there, and I thought about going, but we kind of talked ourselves out of it. It from the outside, it looks really cool.
It was going to be $25 a person, $25 a piece, which, I mean, we're used to paying for good museums. But not really having a tie-in to hockey for us didn't seem like the best way to spend our money. But you can still walk through the shop and the main lobby, and there's quite a bit to see just walking through the building if you're not a hockey fan.
Well, there's this whole area that's a shopping part that is for the hockey fans, and like there's a Tim Hortons in there with hockey paraphernalia around. There's, of course, the team store altogether that has all the different jerseys from popular teams.
Hockey pucks.
Really cool things. You know, we enjoyed doing that, actually. And I thought it was well worth doing. But, yeah, we passed on the actual.
After a little more research, I found out that there are a couple of games inside where you stand and shoot at the goal with a real stick and a real puck. Against animated goalies, so you're trying to beat some of the best goalies in the league.
Well, you gotta do that with the kids, of course.
Or you can be the goalie and try to block shots. So, I mean, that sounds like fun. Not even being a hockey fan.
We like to be kids, though.
Might be worth it, for sure. Okay, another place you're gonna want to go is the Nathan Phillips Square, which is the main square in the center of town. The old City Hall is off on one side, new City Hall is off on another. Just beautiful old buildings all around it. It's a really lively space. There's, in the summertime, there's street performers, there's food. And this is also where you're going to find the big Toronto sign. You know, those 10-foot letters, colorful, lit up at night, in a mirror pool. That's like the iconic photograph you want.
We didn't go there at night, though. We went there first thing in the morning, which was really smart because it's so popular that you're going to go when there's tons of people. And I was like, I am not leaving here without that Toronto sign. So first thing, when we woke up in the morning, we said, let's head over. Well, first of all, we did sunrise at the park.
Yeah.
What was the park name?
Tidwell, I think.
Yeah, and that was really cool. You'll see our pictures.
Trillium is what it was called.
Beautiful. And there were quite a few people out there, but not that would get into your photos or anything. Yeah, no. But there were enough. I mean, it was a popular spot. And it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. So we did go there first because we were actually there before the sun rose. And then as soon as the sun rose and we got our shots, we went then directly to the Toronto sign. And Jim didn't park because there was no parking right along the area. And I jump out of the car and I go running into where the reflection pool is. And there was one couple there, but they luckily were getting their shots from a corner. So I was right directly in front of it and I got a bunch of shots. It was really gorgeous. I'm glad we did.
Yeah, that's like a tip for getting that shot is to get there early in the morning. I think we were there before 8. I was able to actually stop where
and just wait
where normally the food trucks would be later in the day. So I just waited right there. You jumped out. It was early enough to where the sign was still lit.
Yeah.
And you could still see the colors and the lights. I mean, that is like the perfect
shot. It was. Well, you'll see the shot, but we really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, well, that Trillium Park, that really was, without driving further away from the city, I think that was really the best sunrise and maybe sunset view of the city. We went out for sunrise for sure.
For sunrise.
And the sun was, of course, coming up behind us. So as it was coming up, it was lighting up the sky. The clouds were pink and orange. And it also lit up the city skyline across the water because there's just a little bit of water between you
the
skyline. And it was gorgeous for sure. Yeah.
So there are a lot of green spaces in Toronto. We talked about the Philosopher's Path, Trillium Park. One of the ones that's right downtown that was just so cute was Battersea Park. And here's what I liked about Battersea Park. They had a fountain for my favorite little animals. They had a whole bunch of dogs, different breeds of dogs that go around in the fountain. And they're chasing a bone, which is at the top of the fountain. And you know, you can't leave out the cat, so there's one cat in the fountain as well. It's just really cute.
Really quirky.
Yeah.
That's why I guessed dogs at first.
Yeah.
With you, because of that fountain. Definitely worth a gander.
We pretty much had done what we came to do in Toronto. I mean, we came to walk around and see the beautiful buildings and eat and you know, eat and then maybe eat some more.
Oh, we did get another Balzac's coffee on our way out of town.
Yeah,
of course. Pastry, of course, another almond croissant. Wasn't as good as the first one, but I didn't get an almond croissant.
But Jim was really in love with them, so that's what he did. And then it's only about an hour drive to Niagara.
Yeah, on we went to Niagara Falls. We were planning on going through the falls, crossing into New York, and then continuing our trip across New York. So we wanted to spend some time in the falls, but we weren't going to overnight there.
No, and
we've been the falls before.
We've been there actually a couple of times. We went before the kids were born, and then we went when the kids were born. And so we've been there a few times, and I'm here to tell you, it's a beautiful falls.
It really is.
But you know what it is? It's a waterfall.
It's a waterfall.
I could not believe how much everything cost.
Oh, boy. And you know what else it is?
Outrageous.
Touristy.
And very touristy. So I'm going to say if we were going to give the falls a rating, we would not give it a 5. In fact, I probably would give it like a 3.
Around a 3.
Because, I mean, is it beautiful? Yes. Are there things to do? Yes. It was beautiful. That's all you can do. It's a waterfall.
It's a waterfall.
But
it's
it was
beautiful.
Expensive. It cost $30 to park for the day. You could have easily probably taken public transportation and gotten all the way there without for the same amount
for
of money.
For the same amount. You definitely could.
Yeah.
Flixbus has a bus that goes directly from Union Station in Toronto right to the Table Rock Visitor Center there at the falls for like $15 a person.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to do it if you don't have a car.
So we really wanted to go under the falls.
Yeah, we did the journey behind the falls.
And that was kind of cool.
It was pricey.
Yeah, pricey. Yeah.
Everything there was so pricey. And it was a good tour. I mean, you went down the elevator pretty deep, like 120 feet down, and then they give you a little very cheap plastic,
you know, one of those
rain poncho.
One of those rain ponchos that you usually buy for $1 or $2 that they give you as part of the tour. But yeah. I mean, you're only going to use it for that, so it's not a big deal.
And you definitely need to wear it.
And you need to wear it. I mean, that water was rushing all around you. And it was foggy, and it was cool. But you're not going to be out there for long. So you go down into this tour, you go through these tunnels, which are pretty cool. But you're in a line the entire time because it's so popular. And then there's a couple of spots where you can see the water coming down inside the tunnels before you get to the end of the tunnel. Then you wait to go down onto the platform with, about 20 of your most popular friends. And then you kind of jockey for the right spot so that you can get the picture of you in front of the fall. And then you have to jockey again as you switch canders. I got to tell you.
It's overdone.
Out of all the things we've done in the last couple of years, it's probably one of my least favorites. Just because I thought the prices were outrageous and everything you're going to do, you're done in like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you're fighting crowds to do it.
Now, what I would recommend for Niagara Falls for visitors is you can find parking on the Canadian side. You can find parking further up in the city and then you can walk down and...
Or take the funicular. Inline tram line, I think it's called.
And then you just do the Falls View Trail, which takes you from the top of the Horseshoe Falls all the way down to the Grand Observation Point. Mm-hmm. So you get, as you're walking down this trail, which by the way, is free, you get spectacular views of all the falls all the way up and down the trail. That's definitely worth a stop. Get out of the car and do that walk. I mean, it's an easy walk. It's not strenuous at all. And you get magnificent views.
Unless you really, really, really want to get wet.
Yeah.
I probably would not recommend doing the journey behind the falls. Again,
well, even if you want to get wet.
Because it's expensive.
I would say don't do the journey behind the falls. Instead, do one of the boat cruises.
They're about the same cost.
It's about the same price. And the boat cruise takes you right to the base of the Horseshoe Falls. Spectacular views. You get nice and wet. It's kind of iconic.
We didn't do that
on this trip.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that's probably worth the money.
I'm going to tell you, one of the things I liked the most, though, they did have lots of good signage. They had lots of places to take Instagram photos. I mean, it was very catered to that tourist, Instagrammy, I want to document everything. They had plenty of stores to buy lots of stuff. They had cafes and restaurants galore. Mm-hmm. You could spend a lot of time there. It just isn't really our cup of tea, so to speak.
I love a good waterfall, but you see it and you've seen it.
Yeah. What I did enjoy, though, is when we were all finished, And we're driving down the part that Jim was talking about where you can walk along it.
Yeah, the parkway.
You have to turn right to go into the United States. Well, you're crossing a bridge. And as you cross the bridge, you can see the waterfall.
It's the best view.
It's like one of the best views. And you're just like going into the United States. So what you could do is you could walk across the bridge.
That's right.
So if you're coming down, like you said, and you're just taking public transportation into town, you could actually walk along the promenade and then go and walk along the bridge and turn around and walk back and still get some spectacular views. And then you don't have to go onto the American side where they have the viewing platform that we didn't even check the price.
The Canadian side is definitely the best views, for sure.
It is. It is.
It really is.
It was pretty. I don't want to denigrate it, and I know a lot of people want to go there. It's just that I thought it was really, really more expensive than it should have been.
Yeah, and just overdone. And, you know, the number of people that they're getting there, they don't need to charge that much, and they'll still make a lot of money.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know what it could cost to upkeep those tunnels under the falls, but it can't be that much.
So we paid $30 for parking for the day, but I'm going to say we probably spent a total of maybe 2 hours walking up and down the promenade, looking at the statue of Queen and
Nikola Tesla.
And Nikola Tesla.
My favorite guy.
Things like that. I mean, I think we made the most of it and we enjoyed it to that point, but 2 hours was plenty.
Oh, yeah.
It was not worth $30 worth of parking. And then we were like, should we eat here or should we go on over to the American side and eat there? What should we do? But we decided to move on at that point. And then we didn't end up eating. There was no place to park on the American side. At least in Canada, there were places to park, but not on the American side at all. So we were like, okay, we're done. We're done with Niagara Falls. We're out of here. So we went into Buffalo. And Buffalo is kind of a rundown little city a little bit.
It's seen better days, I think.
I think it's seen better days, but has some good food there. I think we had two things that were really worth mentioning.
Yeah, and I think that because of those two things that we really wanted to try, nothing really was very enticing in the Niagara area.
Because we already knew we really wanted to go to Buffalo, too. So
you're going to Buffalo.
Spurred us on.
You know you want to have Buffalo wings, right?
Yeah, that's where it was originated.
And you have to go to the bar.
The Anchor Bar.
Where they originated, the Anchor Bar. So that's what we did. We got there for lunch, and we had an order of Buffalo wings.
That we shared. A lot of people, of course, get their own, and it just depends on how much you want to eat, but we knew we were having more food, so we only got one to share.
We tend to do that because that gives us opportunities to try more things.
Exactly. But it was really a cute little bar. There's placards that tell the history of how the Buffalo wing originated, and it's got like a nostalgic feel to it.
It really does.
Different rooms and stuff. It was well worth going to. I enjoyed that. And there was a lot of people there, and there were kids there. You can take kids, even though it's a bar. I wouldn't take them maybe in the evening when people are drinking more, but during the middle of the day for lunch, it was just fine. And there were a few kids there, and they were enjoying those buffalo wings.
Yeah, and you can make reservations. We didn't. We weren't there too late in the afternoon. We were pretty early, actually. And we were able to get right in and get a table. But as we were leaving, it was getting more and more full.
It was.
And they were definitely checking people coming in and asking if they had reservations. So not a bad idea.
So we have some good friends from Buffalo, and we were introduced to Buffalo wings not long after they were invented, maybe only a few years, and our Buffalo friends made them for us, and we were like, well, these are pretty good. And at the time, it was not a phenomenon. Now everybody has Buffalo wings everywhere. So that was pretty cool that we had that connection. But I'm going to say it was not my favorite thing to eat in Buffalo.
No. They were good.
They were very good.
But they were not the favorite.
They were not the favorite.
That honor goes to Beef on Weck.
Which, have you ever even heard of that before? I had never heard of it before. I have another friend who's from Buffalo, and she's the one that told me about Buffalo.
For a town that's felt so kind of like depressed and seen better days, and maybe this is why.
Maybe.
We know a lot of people from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people in Buffalo.
But anyway, she told us, make sure you try Beef on Weck. And so, you know, we found the place where it also originated.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, what a cute little American cafe, diner-ish style. You walk in the front door and there's a few tables on the side, but you can look over into the kitchen and see them slicing the beef that they've cooked for, I don't know, 20 hours or whatever it is.
Slow-roasted, juicy.
But it was so popular. It was crowded.
I didn't get to go in. Yeah. I had to sit with the car because there was no parking.
There was no parking. There were no free tables. And the line was out the door. So, I mean, I didn't even get in right away.
Yeah.
And then so you walk through and it's kind of like, you know, any other kind of takeaway situation. And you give your order and then you kind of stand by and wait. But it was so cute. And it looked delicious, and everybody I saw was getting the beef on wick. And there was lots of choices on the menu, but they were getting the beef on wick, or at least one of them. And they were enjoying it. I couldn't wait to try it. So I grabbed everything. Jim and I drove down the road to a little prettier place to park.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't actually park in the parking lot. It was too full, and had a little picnic. And I'm here to tell you,
I wish we had tried it before we left. Because I would have sent you in for another one.
We would have gotten two. Because we only get one because we're always trying new things. And we want to make sure that we have enough room in our tummies for anything that we want to eat. But in this case, both of us were kind of like, even debating, like, should we go back and get another one? But, you know, we didn't. Yeah,
but the lines.
Okay, but so, don't go to Buffalo and not get beef on
So a little bit of specifics about this place. Where we got it was Charlie the Butcher's Kitchen. And this was, like you said, a small little diner type place. Kind of, I mean, not the middle of nowhere, but
sort
of was not in a town. It was kind of in between towns. Yeah. It was a little bit outside of Buffalo.
Outside of Buffalo.
And they have other outlets, but that was the original.
Right.
And it is not a tourist destination.
But there were a lot of people there.
But there were a lot of people there. And it was, you could tell, that was like, you got lunchtime. You're going to Charlie's.
It was so good, you guys.
And there's a good reason for it. That slow roasted beef. Mm. The bun was like perfectly flaky and crispy on the outside and soft on the inside to soak up all those juices. And horseradish at just the right, the right bite.
I want one right now.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I could eat three right now.
But did we talk about everything that we said we were going to talk about? Okay, so just to recap, what we did was we were on this just a couple of days, just a little jaunty into Toronto because we could. We had the time. We had booked a flight out of New York to come to Europe. And we had about 2 weeks, but we didn't want to spend all of that in Canada. We had other plans we had to do. Yeah. So, but we thought, let's just take a road trip. And we headed up there for a couple of days. And like I said, we'd never been to Toronto before.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful city. I would certainly go back to Toronto. I mean, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're in the area and you're heading from Toronto to the States, you're going to go to Niagara Falls.
There's a major border crossing. Even if you just go to cross the border at Niagara Falls and go across Rainbow Bridge and get views of the falls.
Which you should. I
mean, you should do it. That's probably the best way to get into the States from Toronto. And then you're in Buffalo. Buffalo wings. And don't forget that beef on wick.
Yeah.
Mm.
So much fun.
Beautiful.
It's a great weekend. Do it.
Yeah.